the screen up there, go skinny dipping. I know I've, Jada was like, why did you title that this message that? And I said, well, it gets people's attention and get them here to church, hopefully online as well. And we're going to learn a lot today. And this actually is a story in Scripture about the prophet Elisha when he told Naaman, who had leprosy, to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And we're going to learn some things from this story. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. If you're really good, we're going to look at 3 passages. And if you know of me, I'm going to show you more than one. But 2 Kings chapter 5, Leviticus 13. Yes, we're going to turn to the book of Leviticus today. And also Matthew chapter 11. And I just wanted to start this off. My brother's not here today, so I can tell this story. I'd have told it even if he was here today. But growing up, my brother and I, we grew up out here northwest of Leedy, about 15 miles on a farm and ranch, and there was a creek that ran through it. It was called Powwow Creek. My dad's here today to hear this story. But Matt and I, Matt's 3 years younger than I am, and so I can't remember what our ages were. We weren't very old, but we had rode in the back of pickup with Dad because we were farming the north end of this place where the creek was at. And Dad was showing somebody, and I can't remember who it was showing somebody how to make the rounds on the tractor. Matt and I, this tells you how old we were. We weren't old enough to drive the tractor yet. So he was showing somebody about plowing. My dad was a contract pumper in the oil field. He was making the first couple of rounds with him on this place on the tractor. And so Matt and I, we couldn't stay in the pickup very long. You know how kids are, little boys. And so we go down to the creek, and we start looking down the creek, and we notice that there's crawdads in the creek. And we was like, okay, you know, Dad's, they're all the way at the other end. We can hear the tractor, so let's strip down. Let's get in the creek, and let's try to catch crawdads. And then when we hear the tractor coming back, we'll jump out and dry off. I don't know what we're going to dry off with, but we'll dry off real quick and put our pants back on and our shirt and everything. So anyway, we did that. We got totally consumed in catching these crawdads that we never even heard the tractor pull up right to where we were at. Dad jumps out and looks at us, and I can just tell this is not good. We're in trouble. And so he tells us to get out of the water. We jump out. We put on our pants and our shirts, and, you know, the pants are stuck to us because we're wet. And we get up to the pickup, and Dad goes, okay, I want you boys, and he lays down the tailgate. He goes, all right, boys, I want you to bend over the tailgate. So I'm looking at Matt, and Matt's looking at me, and I'm like, man, you know. So Dad, there's these weeds there, I can't remember the exact name of the weed, but Dad pulled one out of the ground, all right, and he busted me with it, didn't even hurt. Of course, I'm old enough to know, keep your mouth shut, just act like it hurt. And he busted Matt with it. And on the third whip on Matt, that this weed broke over Matt's behind. And Matt turns around and goes, Dad, that didn't even hurt. And Dad said, Dad goes, have you ever had, if you had a dad like mine, he unbuckled his belt and goes, brrr, like that. And he goes, Mark, I was already up in the back of the pickup with my head down like this. Dad goes, Mark, get back down here. And I look at Matt and I was like, you got to be kidding me. And so then we get whipping with the belt with wet pants on, and that stings pretty hard. And so we get up in the back, but here's let me back up. There's another part of this story that goes with this message. After he spanked us, well, before he wasn't going to spank us. He was just getting on to us. Dad was. And so before he even got this spanking with the weed that broke, Dad asked us who told us that we could go swimming. And, of course, it was a rhetorical question, right? It's one you don't give an answer to. It's just like, you know, if you're going to answer it, say nobody, right? Right, Dad, I told myself I made a mistake, you know. And Matt looks right in Dad's eyes and goes, Dad, God did. Like that. And Dad goes, well, where is God? Because I want to talk to him. And this is Matt, all right, at this age. Matt goes, well, he was sitting over there on that stump, but I don't know where he went now. That's why we got the busting. Yeah, that's why we got the busting. It was because Matt was telling that God was here and God told us to and all this stuff, you know. And so anyway, I'll never forget, we were going home and I'm sitting on the spare tire in the back of the pickup, and I looked at Matt and I was like, why did you tell him that God told us to go skinny dipping? And then why did you tell him that that didn't even hurt, you know? And Matt's over there going, shut up, Mark. So anyway, that's my, so God did tell us God didn't tell us to go skinny dipping that day, but he is telling us to go skinny dipping today, all right? So that's where all this message is going today, go skinny dipping. So we're going to look at someone in the Word of God today, which is Naaman, which I've already told you about in 2 Kings chapter 5, that God did tell to go skinny dipping, and we're going to learn some powerful spiritual truths from him. So I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. If you're already there, I'm going to put them up here on the PowerPoint as well. And when I was studying this, this really jumped off the page at me. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy." And so the word leper in Scripture, the Old Testament is types and shadows. We can learn from the Old Testament's types and shadows. This is a spiritual book. The Word of God is. And the word leper symbolizes sin in the Bible, the word in leprosy. And Jesus came to cleanse the lepers, or Jesus came to cleanse sin, amen, from our lives. How many of you have sinned in here? This is a rhetorical question. Good, you're all participating, all right? We all have, right? I understand that, and I wanted you to raise your hand because I want to make a point with this. How many of you sinned? We all say that. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. But that's the only difference between you and God is he doesn't remember your sins. If you're saved, he doesn't remember your sins. And that's the only difference. Now, when I was reading this, when I came down to 2 Kings 5, verse 1, it says down at the last part of that scripture, it says he was a valiant soldier, comma, everybody say comma, but he had leprosy. He was a valiant soldier, comma, but he had leprosy. And that's the same thing, that comma there, and we're you know, taking this story out of the Old Testament, applying to our lives in the New Testament. We know that leprosy represents sin in Scripture. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. That's the same thing as saying like this today. He took a bath, but he's still dirty. Let me say it another way. He was saved, but he's still a sinner. There is no comma. And that's number one. My point number one, if you're taking notes there on the back of your bulletin, point number one is this. There is no comma in your identity in Christ. Amen. Okay? Your past is forgotten. That comma, there's no more comma. The Hebrew word for leprosy means to scourge or terrorize. And in the New Testament, what we deal with today is what every one of us in this room today, I don't care how long you've been walking with God, or the short amount of time, or the length of time you've been walking with God, we all deal with something, and it's called spiritual leprosy. And it's that word sin. It's any thought, this is what happens. In the New Testament, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with renewing of the mind. And spiritual leprosy is this. It is any thought that beats you down, condemns you, guilts you, shames you, intimidates you, or devalues you. That's spiritual leprosy, all right? So anything that scourges you, anything that terrorizes you and reminds you of your comma, who you used to be, is antichrist. Okay? We prayed for some little girls up here this morning that were having nightmares. That's not from God. Okay? And that's what the enemy tries to do with little kids is get in their lives and pick on them and scourge them and terrorize them because he wants a long-term lease. All right? And so we was up here with parents covering those little girls with the blood of Jesus. That they're not going to have any more nightmares. So that's spiritual leprosy is a mindset that quarantines you. That's a big word I know today for 2020 and 2021. Spiritual leprosy is a mindset that quarantines you from your calling, your destiny, and your purpose in life. Spiritual leprosy is living with a comma. All right? And here's what I want to tell every one of us today. Christ took your comma at the cross. You're saved. But not a sinner no more, because he forgot your sins. Yeah, and don't let Pastor Mark say we're not sinners. We're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. But here's the deal: the enemy wants us to. He beats us up with that comma all the time, so that we never make a dent in the kingdom of darkness. The spiritual leprosy is running rampant in the church today, because people don't know who they are in Christ. We got to have an identity. We have an identity crisis. Identity theft is going on, and we need to know who we are in Christ. And everybody said, All right, now we're going to go in the Old Testament. We're going to go to the book of Leviticus, and we're going to look at, and we're going to take this what it's about spiritual or about leprosy. These were the conditions of leprosy in the Old Testament, and we're going to apply it today to that word sin, okay? And Leviticus 13, verses 44 through 46 says, "He is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean." I want you to notice who pronounces him unclean is the priest. "His plague is in his head." I'm reading this out of the King James Version. "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." Okay. If you had leprosy in the Old Testament, they kicked you out of the camp. They kicked you out of Leedy, all right? And you had to dwell outside of Leedy. And so that's what goes on. And what happens is the priest is the one that pronounces you unclean. And if anybody ever came around you, had to do certain things with your clothes and your head and all those things. And if anybody ever got really close to you, you had to shout, "Unclean, unclean, stay away from me." All right? So I just kind of give you a little background about that and paraphrase that so you can understand what's going on. Now, what I want to show you is conditions of spiritual leprosy. All right, we're going to bring this over into the New Testament where we're living today. And in verse 44, it says, "He is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head." All right? So that's where the plague is, in his head, all right? Spiritual leprosy is living with the commas. Everybody understand that? Everybody got that? I've made that point clear, all right? The disease is in the head, and what that means is we don't have the mind of Christ when we take it into the New Testament. And what's happening to a lot of people is religion is pronouncing people unclean. See, the priest is pronouncing them unclean. Religion is pronouncing a lot of people unclean. Religion always puts a comma, and Jesus took away the comma and pronounces us clean. And everybody said, amen. All right. If you don't walk out of here today, and every day that I'm up here, or anybody who's ever up here preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, if you don't walk out of here feeling the love of God, feeling closer to God, feeling like I want to get into the Word of God, I want to know God more, and if you don't walk out of here feeling secure in your relationship with God, then that's false teaching and false preaching. A lot of preaching from pulpits today is beating people up, terrorizing people, making them feel like that they're not saved. Okay? All right? Making you feel like you got to come and repent all over again. All right? And that's not God, guys. Your Heavenly Father loves you. He wants you to know that you're saved. He wants you to know that you're a child of God. He wants you to know that you're loved when you walk out of here. And if I, you know, I'll never forget one of the times that I preached, we was downtown. I know I've shared this story before. Some of you haven't heard it. But we were downtown, and I got up in the pulpit one day, and I was mad. I was just mad about everything. And I preached an angry sermon that Sunday. You know, the wrath of God is on everybody. And it was hard. And as we were leaving, she's went home to be with the Lord now. She lived over by Arapahoe that she'd come to church here. And she came up to me, a little sweet little old lady, and hardly ever said a word. But that day, the Holy Spirit spoke through her to me. And she walked through the line, and she shook my hand, and she just looked at me right in the eyes, and with just love and grace, nothing. She just looked at me. She goes, "Pastor Mark, that was very hard today." And that was all she said. And she left. And it cut me like a knife. Cut my heart. And I went home. And the Lord got on to me, and he said, "Mark, don't you ever, ever, ever talk to my kids like that again. Or you won't be behind no pulpit anywhere." And I was like, "Yes, sir. You know, I won't be doing that." Another time, I can tell you religion is pronouncing people unclean. There was one time here in Leedy. She doesn't go to church here, but we had somebody came to our house and said that she was part of a revival or something where somebody, a guest minister, was in. And when she left, she said, "I've been in church all my life. I've been walking with God all my life. But when I left church that day, I doubted my salvation." And I'm like, then that's not from God, all right? But she was really messed up in her mind because she thought she needed to get saved all over again. And this is a person that had been in church and walking with God for 30 years. So be careful who you listen to. And everybody said, Somebody's pronouncing you unclean. You're clean in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Philippians 2, I love this passage of Scripture. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11 on this point. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And everybody said amen. And Mark Ward sent me a meme this week, and it was somebody in the House of Representatives, a congressman, and he'd made this statement, literally made this statement. He said that God has no authority in the House of Representatives. Mark saying, I was like, oh my gosh. And so I was texting back to Mark. I was texting, every knee shall bow, and Mark beat me to it. And Mark texts back, every knee shall bow. And I was like, amen. That's so true. And our country needs Jesus very badly. All right, here's the conditions of spiritual leprosy. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. We'll get to that in just a second. But I underline, his clothes shall be rent. And this is what spiritual leprosy is. It's living with the comma again, and we are not clothed. What spiritual leprosy is we are not clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Okay? And this is 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. No, there's nothing righteous in Mark Haney, but what makes me righteous is Jesus. And we've got to put that on every day. The Word of God says in Ephesians 6:14, says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. The breastplate of righteousness is right here. It covers your heart, okay? So we got to have the breastplate of righteousness on. It's something that you put on every day. And everybody said amen to that. All right, here's some more conditions of spiritual leprosy. Verse 45 of Leviticus 13, it says, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. We just talked about that. And then it says this, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. That's verse 45. Spiritual leprosy, again, is living with a comma. And here what it's talking about, spiritual leprosy, is we do not have the helmet of salvation securely in place. Okay? Some of you are wearing it backwards. Some of you are wearing it sideways. We got to get it securely in place. And if you've ever studied, you know, the Romans and everything, they had a buckle. Sometimes they had a buckle. And so I was thinking about that, and I was like, sometimes we just need to buckle the strap. Some of you need to buckle up. Look at somebody and say, you need to buckle up. You need to buckle up. And so the enemy, he's good at this, guys, and crafty at this, and it's his scheme and strategy. He convinces us that we're not saved by some action or something that we do or a thought or whatever, or something we say, and then he starts convincing us. Or we have here's one. You have a fight with your spouse right before church. God, I got to get saved today, right? And I'm the pastor. You know, no, Jade and I, we did good this morning. No spats this morning. But I want to make this point about this, because this is what happens with a lot of people. They think, I mess up one time, then I got to get saved all over again. No, you don't. That's the power of forgiveness. The enemy convinces us that we're not saved. He's very good at it. How many of you have had an argument with your spouse? Okay, good. You're in the house of God. You better raise your hands. Did you have to go get married all over again? No. Okay. That's the same with our relationship with God. All right. So Ephesians 6, verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you got to take on the helmet of salvation with the Word of God, and that's knowing who you are in Christ. Also, another good scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. It says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate. There's that breastplate of righteousness and the hope of salvation as a helmet. So you got to put on the helmet of salvation. All right, here's the last one, conditions of spiritual leprosy in verse 45. It says, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Spiritual leprosy is when we live with the comma and we don't declare the promises of God over our lives. We declare that we are unclean. Therefore, we live defeated and not victorious. And here's what I want to tell every one of us in here. Young people, listen to me. Your words are nuclear. They're either for you or against you. You need to make sure you're speaking the right words over yourself and over your children and over everything that's yours. And everybody said, all right. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So you gotta speak it. Look at somebody and say, you need to speak it. Speak those blessings and his promises over you. The cause of leprosy, and I'm going to go back to talking about it in the natural, in the physical. The cause of leprosy is prolonged contact with others having it. So I want to say this. You need to make sure who you're hanging with. Bad company corrupts good character. That's what the Bible says. So you want to get around like-minded people that are on the same path that you are. It also, something about leprosy is it sometimes takes 4 to 10 years to show up. It has a long incubation period. And it causes skin sores, which are open wounds. It causes disfigurement, nerve damage, numbness, and muscle weakness that gets worse over time. Now let me translate all that in the physical to the spiritual, okay? Open wounds means this, when you're a spiritual walk with God, they've never allowed the Lord to heal them. And sometimes it's because they've just never been taught God's word. They have the ignorance of God's word. How many of you have ever been there? I've been there. But then sometimes once people are taught and they have open wounds and the Holy Spirit starts talking to them and wooing them and saying, we need to talk about that little spot in your heart, you know, that issue. And then we go, don't touch that. Da, 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 don't touch it. What is that? I can't touch this. Yeah, I get the song all wrong. Golly, I don't know where that came from. Okay, that came back from the 80s right there in my mind. All right, don't touch that. And so, but sometimes that's what people do in their walks with God. Don't touch that, God. Don't touch that. God, you can touch everything else but that little spot right there. Well, that's the spot that he wants. And so we walk around, even though we're saved and going to heaven, sometimes Christians walk around with open wounds. And wounded people, hurt people, right? And we don't want to do that. We want to be healing people. Okay, and then the next thing is disfigured countenance, all right? I just can tell you that's just people that are in religion. I've never seen a happy person in religion. I have seen happy people when they have a relationship with the Lord, but not religion. Here's another one, lack of sensitivity to the Word of God. They're numb and desensitized to it. They always think it's for someone else and not for them. Lack of compassion of others, always thinking of themselves. They have a victim mentality. Weak and unable thinking. This is spiritual leprosy, keeps you from walking in faith. The inability to respond to a need with spiritual authority. Amen. Okay. Here's the deal. As a pastor, I'm supposed to be equipping you to do the work of the ministry, equipping you to live a godly Christian life. And this is where inability to respond to a need with spiritual authority, this is where call the pastor. Here's the deal, and I don't want this to sound mean or anything. I love people, and I will pray for you. But my job up here is to teach you how to pray for yourself and pray for your family. You have more spiritual authority in your home than I do, I promise you. And you need to learn how to use it. I've often said this, and I know there's some of you in here that have had this happen, and you know about it. Every Christian should cast out a demon. And then you'll know who's in charge, he is, and you'll know the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Okay, and then another thing is that inconsistency in walking in obedience because of that. That's that muscle weakness. It gets worse over time. And I'm going to tell you guys, I'm not saying that this is something you battle one time and you're over it. I think I have battled this my whole life in my walk with God. Am I better today than when I started? Yeah, I think so, a little bit. But it's something that the enemy keeps bringing up sometimes. And there was a time in my life where it was coming up very frequently, and it was back whenever I knew that the Lord was calling me into the ministry, and the enemy was beating me up. I had nightmares. Things were happening, spiritually speaking, that I just, you know, was like, what in the world's going on? I thought, then the enemy was convincing me, if you do this, if you answer this call, I'm going to take you out. All right, that was on my shoulder. That was in my ear. I felt disqualified because I've never been to seminary, okay? I was very insecure, felt very unworthy, and went through this a lot. I even confided this into Jada, told her, I don't know why God called me. I don't want to do this. I want somebody else to do this. I'll let me go run the sound. You know, I don't want to be up here. But God kept assuring me through prophetic words and different things. God is so loving and so gracious and so kind. And he just kept telling me, Mark, I've called you. I've called you to do this. I've called you. I've called you. I've called you. And then, you know, as you keep doing that and as you continue to walk with God, there's something that's called, and you know, when I said earlier about beating people up, well, there's something that a lot of Christians don't understand is God's discipline, okay? And he disciplines you out of love. It's never beating you up or anything like that. But God spoke this disciplinary word to me, and he told me this, said, Mark, I have called you, I have confirmed it, and I'd be like Gideon, God, write it in the sky with the clouds, right? You know, give me the sign. And he said, but here, and this is what God spoke to me, and I'm just going to, because I feel like somebody needs to hear this today. He said, Mark, I have called you, and there's nothing else that I can do to confirm that, because you're going to have to walk this out by faith. But what you do is every time you feel disqualified, every time you feel insecure, and every time you feel unworthy, you go through hell to pick it back up. I mean, I go back through the comma to pick up the past, all right? And this is how God spoke to me. This, you know, how God speaks to us all differently, but, you know, he speaks to me. And he said, son, this is what he told me. He said, son, quit going through hell. And then he told me this. He said, what in hell do you want? Because you keep going back there and picking all this stuff up. And I finally had to realize there, you know, and I have to tell myself this when the enemy comes and does these little tricks that he does. There is no more comma in Jesus' name. There's no more comma in Jesus' name. And every time I start feeling disqualified or I feel insecure or I feel unworthy, I remind myself of this time that I had with God when he told me, quit going through hell, I've called you. You're going to have to walk this out by faith. Everybody said, amen. All right, here's number two. That helps somebody? All right, here's number two. We must consider our ways to get rid of the comma. Maybe a better title of this message is Get Rid of the Comma instead of Go Skinny Dipping. But no. We must consider our ways to get rid of the comma. And this is in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. It says, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times. So just notice that Elisha didn't even step out to meet Naaman. It says, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you'll be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his magic wand, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage, and Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? All right, look at somebody and say, consider your ways. All right, listen to this, everybody. Pride, ego, arrogance, and anger almost kept Naaman from receiving until he considered his ways. Thank God he had some people talking to him. And he had to make an attitude adjustment and humble himself to receive. This can happen to anybody. It can happen, I don't care how long you've been walking with God or who you are in the Lord or how God's called you. It happened to Moses. Moses' anger kept him from the promised land. Go read that story, all right? Obedience, now listen to this, and the reason why is because the reason that happened to Moses is because he was not obedient in front of the children of Israel, what God told him to do. Obedience, you need to write this down and post this, tweet this online. Young people, I'm telling you, get online right now, put it on Instagram, put it everywhere. This is one of the most powerfulest quotes I have read in a long time that I read here a few weeks ago, and it said this, obedience is the highest form of spiritual warfare. obedience is the highest form of spiritual warfare. And what obedience does is when we obey what God tells us to do, commands the blessings and the favor of God on our lives. And Jesus practiced obedience. Remember what we read in Philippians 2, that he was obedient even to the death of the cross. And so I want to tell all of us is give yourself to obedience. Just obey. Young people in here, obey your parents. That's the spiritual authority that's over your lives. Brooke's laughing at me. Here's the deal. Obey your parents and do it quietly. Don't talk back. All right? And sometimes, and I'm saying that for us and we're laughing at, but sometimes we do that with God. God tells, no, you forgive them. No, God, you do it. You know, you're better at it than me. You know, I still have my go to hell list over here. Don't shout me down when I'm teaching good. All right? And then God tells you to burn up the list. No, I like my list. You know, and so we have this same dialogue with God in our minds and in our hearts sometimes, just like Naaman did. And so we need to obey and do it quickly and do it quietly. And everybody said, amen. That's how we consider our ways. We need to humble ourselves. All right? Have a right attitude and obey. And do it in the right heart and the right manner. All right, here's number three, last point for today. We must renew our minds according to the Word of God to get rid of the comma. This is where the skinny dipping comes in. Go skinny dipping. 2 Kings 5, verse 14 says, so he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, just like the prophet told him to do, just like the Word of God told him to do, and as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Now, I'm just going to show you some types and shadows here about the Jordan River. Every time you see the Jordan River in the Old Testament, it is equivalent to, it's the type and shadow of us changing our minds or renewing our minds in the New Testament, okay? And so he tells him to go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. 7 times means this, dip 7 times. Look at somebody say, you need to dip 7 times, okay? That what this means is to cleanse your mind until you think about yourself like God thinks about you. Complete. Okay, here's some more types and shadows. When Adam was created, he was 777, okay? Meaning we were all created in the image of God, spirit, soul, and body, right? We're three, yet we're one, just like God is, all right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we're seven. Seven is the number of completion, the number of God. Okay, seven is the number of perfection. So 7 spirit, 7 soul, 7 body. Everybody got that? Okay. When Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, he became 6-7-7. Okay, because the first thing that fell was his spirit, which eventually became 6-6-6. Hmm. And when we get saved, listen to this, guys. When you get saved, we go from 666, and some of you are going, hey, wait a minute, I'm not the Antichrist, okay? Just stay with me, all right? When we get saved, we go from 666, which is the number of man, spirit, soul, and body, to 766, meaning our spirit is saved. Boom, as soon as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're saved. Spirit is, we're secure in God, amen? But while we are here on this planet, every one of us in this room, we are renewing our minds, which is our the mind, the will, and our emotions. We're renewing our mind with the help of the Holy Spirit and with His Word. That's what we're all in the process of doing. Amen? Everybody in the process? I'm a work in progress right here, okay? Still working on it. Romans 12:2, most of you know this scripture, says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how we transform ourselves. We got to get in the Word of God and figure out His nature, His character, and who we are in Him. That's what we do when we get in the Word of God. I'm hoping this message is helping you today. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love what Matthew chapter 11 says about Jesus. Verses 4 through 6, and yes, this happened in the natural, but he's doing this today in the spirit. Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. We're being cleansed of leprosy today, spiritual leprosy. We're knowing who we are in Christ. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. And this is what Jesus is coming back for, guys. Ephesians 5, verses 26 through 27. We're all a part of the bride of Christ. He's our groom. And it says to make her holy. He's talking about the bride of Christ. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That's the kind of church that God's coming back for, that the Lord's coming back for. God is telling all of us today, this is what he's telling us. He's telling us to go skinny dipping. Look at somebody say, go skinny dipping. All right? And what this means is, and I hope you'll never forget this message, this story of Naaman, what that means is to quit living with the comma, means to consider our ways, means sometimes we get over that pride, ego, and we think that we got it all figured out. That's when we need to humble ourselves, repent, get right with God, you know, right in our hearts. It's not that we're not saved, but just get on that same path with God, get rid of the pride, the arrogance, and the ego, and anger, if we're dealing with anger and unforgiveness and all that, and consider our ways and get on that right path with God, and to cleanse and renew our minds according to the Word of God. And everybody said, amen. Everybody learned something today? All right, look at somebody again, say, go skinny dipping. Okay. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. Jay keeps looking at me, he's like, would you quit saying that? All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. I just want to make sure we do this every Sunday. Make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, those that are here, those that are watching online, those that will be listening to this on the radio. And so I want to lead you in a prayer. This is the prayer of salvation. The Word says in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. We had a young man come up here this morning. Is Jeremiah still in here? Is he in the back with the kids? He's in the back. He came up this morning for prayer, and he's going to be following the Lord in water baptism next Sunday. So, man, God's on the move at Harvest Fellowship Church. But, babe, why don't you come up here with me? And we're going to speak this blessing over you. I want everybody to stand up, and I want you to receive this blessing out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. This is just an extended version of that blessing that God told Moses to speak over his people. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a blessed week. Love y'all. Pray that y'all learned something today.